Do you feel the shadows deepen?
We do.
But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through?
We do.
Do you wish that you could see it all made new?
Good evening. Can I welcome you all for joining with us or here on this Sunday evening. It's great to have you. And this is our last night of mission. Yeah, it's really hard to believe it's the last night. This mission was planned in January 2019. There's a lot of work had gone into it. And suddenly with the COVID virus, everything was locked down. But by God's grace, we've been able to hold four nights, and by the power of technology as well, we've been able to show these to you. Let me thank again members of the Belfast City Mission for being so helpful and supportive to the church in this time. We have Andy Williamson tonight as our speaker, and we're looking forward to that. But also thanks to Bobby, to Paul, and to Willie for speaking each evening. It was very much appreciated, and also very, very challenging to each and every one of us. We do pray that God's word will take root in many souls and that lives will be changed. I have a number of other people I want to thank. I want to also thank Laura Glasgow. Laura was singing to us on Wednesday night, and she'll be singing again tonight. And thank you, Laura, for using your gifts so ably for the Lord's work. Can I also thank Marina and Ian for their testimonies? It's great to hear real life stories in a very short space of time of what God can do and is doing. I also want to thank one of our own members, Ivan McCain. Ivan, can I just personally thank you for helping me putting this together and drawing all the pieces and making it the way it is. It's very much appreciated, Ivan, as well. So thank you very much. And also to all of you who have listened in or will be listening in, whenever you will do that, our ultimate prayer as a congregation is that many of you, if not already, you will trust in Jesus Christ as your Saviour. So I trust that you will know God's blessing tonight and that you will enjoy this time as we fellowship together. We're now going to have our first item of praise, which is by Wren Collective, and the title of the song is Rescuer.
He's our rescuer. He's our rescuer. We are free from sin forever.
There is good news for the captive, good news for the shame. There is good news for the world who walked away. There is good news for the doubter, the one religion failed. For the good Lord has come to seek and save.
He's our rescuer.
Riches for the poor. He is friendship for the world.
those are great words of the gospel in that Wren Collective song. Let's now just join together as we pray. Our Lord and Father, it's hard to believe that we're on the fourth and the final night of our mission. And we thank you, Lord, for the opportunities that have been had to share the gospel message in word and in song. Thank you for the wonderful opportunities I've been able to join with so many people and for all those who will listen to these messages. And our God, tonight we come to you because we believe in the midst of our lives that it is good to know that there is one who is sovereign, one who is real, and one who is true. We live in very uncertain days, and we live in days of great distress, of worry and concern. But how we thank you that our God stands firm, and our God stands secure, and our God is the one who is from everlasting to everlasting. We thank you, Lord, that in your love you sent your one and only Son. John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And we thank you, Lord, as we've been listening to the words of that song there, that Jesus indeed is our rescuer. And Jesus, tonight I pray that you will reach out to all who are listening, and that whatever the situations they may find themselves in, that you will reach out your rescuing hand, and that many will turn to you tonight and find grace and goodness and salvation. So our God, we pray now that you will continue with us, and that we will know the guidance, the leading and the direction of your Holy Spirit. And we ask all our prayers now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as I said earlier on, a word of thanks again to Laura Glasgow for singing to us. And she's going to sing now a lovely piece, Amazing Grace, My Chains Fell Off.
Lost, but now I'm found.
Laura, thank you very much again for your joining with us and for your taking part. Now we are going to have a 2-minute testimony, and I want to thank Ian McCulloch for agreeing to do this. And Ian will now share with you 2 minutes of what the Lord and the Christian life means to him.
I've been asked to briefly share my testimony with you, and thank your minister for the opportunity to do so. My name is Ian McCulloch, and I'm a member of First Armagh Presbyterian Church in County Down, and I send you greetings from our fellowship in Armagh. We do have a connection with St James's, as the Reverend Ronnie Wilson commenced his parish ministry in First Armagh, and he is now with you in Ballymoney. We were pleased to have him a couple of months ago to celebrate the 60th anniversary of his ordination in First Armagh. I had the greatest blessing in being brought up in a Christian home. For as long as I can remember, my brothers and I were brought along to Sunday school and church. It was just what we did, and it formed a very good habit. I took part in all the children's and young people's activities and enjoyed being part of the various organisations. Boys Brigade was an important part of church life for me, and I greatly enjoyed all that it offered. However, through my teenage years, I was very clear that even though my father was an elder in the church, even though that both my parents were involved, and even though I was no prodigal, engaged in riotous living, I was involved in church activities myself, but that was not enough. I realised that I needed to get right with God, to submit to him, accept the forgiveness that he offered, and allowed him to take control of my life. This occurred for me when I was 17, while at a BB camp in Scotland in 1973. At camp, we always had morning and evening devotions, and during the week, the speaker emphasised the advantages of getting right with God and the consequences of turning our back on him. On the last night of camp, as I lay in the tent with others sleeping around me, I committed my life to Jesus. That was 47 years ago, and since then there have been many mountaintop experiences and not a few dark valleys. Through it all, God has been at my side. Most times I feel very close to him, but sometimes I allow myself to drift away and don't enjoy the close fellowship that he desires for me. I'm firmly of the opinion that we are called to serve. If God calls us into his kingdom, it's to serve him, so I've tried to do that in his strength. I've enjoyed many fantastic experiences serving God, and I must admit that at some times I've been too busy in this service, and he has ways of slowing me down to refocus on him. I have much to learn and struggles to overcome, but it's such a joy to know that, as we read in Romans chapter 8, in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. I trust that even in this time of uncertainty, all of God's people will know his presence and will know his purposes for their lives and will know God working for their good. For anyone who's still not surrendered to God, that they may do so and experience the assurance of his forgiveness, his care and his keeping. He has tomorrow and all our tomorrows planned for us, and most especially, he has eternity planned that we can be with him. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ian, for sharing your message with us. And again, as I said, it's very much appreciated. We're going to join together to sing again, probably one of the oldest gospel hymns that most of us have been brought up with or we have heard. And yet, again, the words are so significant to us at a time of mission, and the words are very, very relevant to us. So we're going to listen and join together to sing the words of the old rugged cross. Thank you.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. How I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left His glory above to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange His glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down.
Hope you enjoyed those words. They are indeed very, very powerful, old but very, very powerful words. And if we do what that song says, well, our lives will be completely different. I'm very pleased tonight now to welcome on this fourth night of mission our speaker, Mr. Andy Williamson. And Andy's just going to come now and bring God's message to us.
Good evening, folks. It's lovely to be with you tonight to share God's word with you. My name's Andy Williamson. I work for the Belfast City Mission up in Ballyshannon in North Belfast. And I've been asked tonight just to share just a gospel message with you. And that's what it is. The gospel, you know, is the power of God unto salvation, the Bible says. And we're here to share the gospel with you tonight. Share the good news. There's an invite for you and I to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and have our sins forgiven. So we're just going to read about an invite tonight in Luke chapter 14. We're reading from verse 15, and we're going to read down to verse 24. And this It's God's word. So let's just read the word of the Lord together. Luke chapter 14, reading from verse 15. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. And then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and the country lanes and make them come in, so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" And we just end the reading of God's word there, and we know that God will bless the public reading of his word. Let's just pray tonight as we turn to God's word. Father, I thank you tonight for your word. I thank you, Lord, that your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. I thank you that your word goes out, Lord, and will never return unto you void. It'll accomplish what you have it going out to accomplish, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that your word is the power of God unto salvation. This gospel that you've given us is the power of God unto salvation. I just pray tonight, Lord, as this word goes forth, that you would close us in with yourself and you would speak loud and clear to hearts and to lives tonight. And we ask all these things in Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. We get many invites in life, don't we? And we get invited to go to different functions. May it be a wedding, may it be a birthday party, may it be maybe a business function. There's so many invites that we get at different times. And some of them, let's be honest, some of them we enjoy going to better than others. And if there's one that we just don't really want to be there, it's easy to make an old excuse, isn't it? And bring up an excuse for not wanting to go. Oh, you know, I can't go there because I'm doing such and such. And this is a story of a man who sent out invites to a great banquet, to a great feast. And he sent these invites, he sent his servants out to invite people to come. And people like us had excuses for not coming. People like us had excuses for not coming. You know, this is a great picture tonight of God inviting the sinner to come to this great banquet. You know, this great banquet that he's talking about, it's a picture of the salvation feast in heaven, where we all sit down together at that great marriage supper of the Lamb. And you know, my question to you tonight as we start out just going through this precious word of God is this: have you accepted the invite to come to that marriage feast of the Lamb, to sit down with all our believers, with the redeemed of the Lord, with the body of Christ, with the bride of Christ, his church, and sit down to that wonderful feast, that salvation feast? Have you accepted that invite tonight? As we go through, let's have a wee look tonight at these excuses that were turned up. The first man, he says, "I bought a field." A business transaction was done here. This man had bought a field and he must go and he see it. You know, I would have thought that when you would be buying a field, that you would go and look at that field before you would buy it. But he said he just bought a field, so he needed to go and look at it. A feeble enough excuse, wasn't it? A feeble enough excuse. You know, there's many transactions. Maybe you're in business tonight. Maybe you do transactions all the time. There's many things that we need to do when we're in business. We need to do many business transactions. We need to buy and sell and go looking at stuff and see what we're buying. And we're always speculating in business and all these different things. But you know, there's no more important business to do tonight, folk, than the business of getting your soul right before God. Getting your account settled with God tonight is the most important piece of business you will ever do. And this person said, oh, I have bought a field, I need to go and look at it. Maybe tonight your business or the things around you are stopping you from coming. Maybe you're using that as an excuse and saying, well, I know that I might get saved someday, or I need to get saved, I need to become a Christian. I know it's a truth, but see, at the minute, I'm so busy and I've so much on and I've so many different things to do that there'll be a time for that come at some stage, you know, but I haven't just time for it now. Folks, don't turn down the invitation of Almighty God. Maybe you've turned him down in the past. Maybe you've turned him down on a number of occasions. Maybe he's calling and he's been speaking to you his last while through these strange days that we're living in. Can I say to you tonight again, there's no business transaction more important than the piece of business you'll do when you come and you confess your sin to God, and Jesus Christ washes you, cleanses you, and sets you free to worship God, and you become a believer and you become a born again child of the living God. It's the most important business transaction you will ever do. The second excuse was, I bought a yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Folks, a lot of what we thought was important, things that were important, have been taken away from us recently in this lockdown, since this coronavirus has come in. Many of the things that we thought were so important have all been stopped. The handbrake has been pulled on, and we've had an opportunity to have a look at life. And you know, this man had bought 5 yoke of oxen and he wanted to go and try them out. And you know, maybe again, there's things that you think are more important. I thought for years that there were things that were more important in my life than becoming a Christian. I grew up in a Christian environment. I wasn't a Christian family, but I was sent to Sunday school, I was sent to church. I heard the gospel from a very, very young age. I knew I needed to be saved. And as I grew up as a young man, there was many things that came into my life to separate me away from the things of God, things that I thought were really, really important. And you know, when I was invited to a gospel meeting, I remember friends of mine inviting me to gospel meetings and me making one excuse after another that I couldn't go, because I knew if I was going there, I was going to hear the truth. I knew that God was going to probably speak to me, and I knew that the life I was living, it wasn't a right life to live. And I knew I needed to get saved, but it was like kicking it down the road like a tin. You remember when you were a child, you used to kick the tin down the road? It was like kicking that tin down the road away in front of me. And when I caught up on it again, I hit it another kick, and away it went down in front of me. And you know, the devil told me about so many things I was going to have to give up to become a Christian. You're going to have to give up this, and you're going to have to give up that, and you're going to have to give up something else. And he put a whole list of things in front of me that I was going to have to give up. You know what? Not once did he ever tell me what I was going to gain. He never told me what I was going to gain. He told me everything I was going to have to give up. Maybe you're in that situation tonight and you're thinking, oh, well, I'm going to have to do this and do that and stop doing this. I'll not be able to do that. Can I tell you something? Put that out of your mind tonight. Think about it this way. You have far, far more to gain in a relationship with Jesus Christ than you ever have to lose. I have proved that time out of number in my own life. The devil will tell you all day long the things that you have to give up. But you know, when I've gotten the other side of all those things and look back, there's not really that much to give up. There's not really that much that's important in the light of getting your soul right, becoming a Christian and being right for eternity. So I don't know what maybe is getting in your way tonight, maybe what that is a stumbling block for you to come to Christ. But it's not important tonight, folks. It's not important. It's not as important as getting right with God. You need to get right with God tonight. God has given me peace in my heart. He's taken away the fear of death. I had a great fear of death on me. You know, that old enemy of death. I have no fear of death now. I've got a peace in my heart. I've got an assurance for eternity. The hymn writer says, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation. Purchased of God, born of his spirit and washed in his blood. I've got that assurance tonight. Have you got that assurance tonight, folks? And you know, another thing I'm going to gain is heaven and home, a place where there's no sickness, there's no death, there's no tears, there's no sorrow, there's no heartache. There's no coronavirus. That's what we have to gain for eternity, not just for time, but for eternity. You know, there's far, far more to gain in a relationship with God than there is to give up. And let's come to the third excuse now. I've just got married. Oh, it's wonderful to be married. It's wonderful to have that relationship with a loving wife or a loving husband. It's a tremendous thing. In fact, in Scripture, Christ looks at it like a man and a wife's marriage is like Christ and the church. Christ died for the church, the Bible said. And we're to there's a lot of sacrifices to be made in that relationship of marriage, isn't there? And it's lovely to be married, and it's great to be married, and it's great to have that relationship. But it's not the most important relationship you'll ever have. The most important relationship you'll ever have or ever can have is with the Lord God Almighty. And that's through a relationship with Jesus Christ, coming to know Him, coming to the cross, repenting of your sin, getting right with God. I know you're maybe tonight wondering and worried about, well, if I get saved, what would my husband say? If I get saved, what would my wife say? You need to put that to the back of your mind. You need to come. If you're getting an invite tonight, if God's speaking to you and has been speaking to you over a period of time, you need to come and you need to do business with Him. You need to get right with God. And God will sort all the other things that's concerning you out. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. So whatever it is, it's a roadblock tonight in you coming to Christ. Maybe it's a business. Maybe it's something that's really important to you. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a marriage. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe you're wondering what that other person will think of you. Put that far from your mind, folks. Come to Christ. He'll sort everything else out. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and He'll sort it all out for you. I've seen it fall into place in my own life. I was far away from God many years ago, and God started to call me. He started to draw me. And it's not nice being under that place, in that place of conviction, because your sins are being brought before you. My life, I started to get very dissatisfied with things that I thought that I lived for. Sport, I was bigly into football. I loved football. I loved the socializing. I was a workaholic. I loved work. I was out working. All them different things that I thought was really important, I started to get dissatisfied with. And God was working on me. His spirit began to move on me. He was showing me that thing of the world that I was involved in couldn't bring me that satisfaction. There's an old song that a rock band sang way back in the 60s, the Rolling Stones. I can't get no satisfaction. And that's the cry of the world today, folks. And it doesn't matter what business that you have. You might be a multimillionaire today. You might have a great relationship with your wife. You might have all those different things that you think are so important. But you'll never have that true lasting satisfaction deep down in you. There'll always be a void deep down in you that you will never get filled with any of those things. The only thing that will fill that void is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you come to Him tonight? Will you give Him your life? Will you allow Him to take over your life? Will you allow Him to come and to save you tonight? The Bible says very, very simply, he that calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not a complicated thing. The enemy makes it into a big, big thing. It cost Jesus dearly. Of course it did. It's not a complicated thing tonight to come to God and to confess that you're a sinner and to repent, which means turn away from the lifestyle you're leading and go towards God. Because there only is two ways, folks. You're either walking with God or you're not walking with God. There's no in between. You might be a good person. You might be a respectable person. You might be a churchgoer. You might know a bit about the Bible. You might have been brought up in church. None of that matters. You must, Jesus said to Nicodemus, the religious leader in John chapter 3, you must be born again. So can I ask you tonight, would you accept that invite and come to the greatest wedding feast of them all and be part of that? Be redeemed and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ tonight. Be saved, not just for now, but for eternity. Would you come? Would you come tonight? Come unto me, Jesus said. He didn't say come unto a church. Come on to a denomination. He said, come on to me. When you come to Him tonight, He's inviting you to come tonight. In Jesus' name. Let's pray. Father, I thank you tonight for your word. And I just pray that as this invite goes out once again tonight, the invite of the gospel, the invite of salvation, the invite of the Saviour, calling each and every one to come to Himself, Lord, that people would be convicted tonight by your Spirit. You would draw them to yourself. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
Andy, thank you very much for that challenging message, and we do pray that God will anoint it and he will use it for his glory and for his honour. We're going to join now together again in a piece of worship, and it's entitled Jesus is Knocking at the Door.
Let Jesus in. You may be tired and lonely. You may think you're an outcast. You may be searching for an answer, but there is someone who really cares.
Let's just join our hearts together in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful privilege of being able to join here together tonight in this time of mission. We thank you, Lord, for all the messages that have been given to us, for all the challenges that have been thrown out to us. And we thank you that the central message of this week has been that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And we've been reminded, Lord, how important the value of a soul. And we thank you that our souls are important to you. Jesus died so that we might be forgiven. And we thank you, Lord, that all who place their faith and trust in Jesus will be saved. And Father, tonight I pray that you will come and bless each and every person who has been listening. You know us. You know what we all come from, different situations. You know we come from different circumstances. You know we carry heavy burdens or different burdens in our lives. And we thank you that all these can be met at the foot of the cross. And tonight, Lord, Jesus says that he is standing at the doors of our hearts. Pray that we will not spurn him. Pray that we will not turn him away, but that we will open up our hearts gladly and let Jesus into our lives. Thank you, Lord, for being with us this week, and thank you for your blessing upon us. And we pray that you will continue to be with us. You will continue to speak to us even when the voice of man is silent. And Father, when the mission is off, we pray that you will continue to speak to us and that you will work on our lives, in our situations, until we all come into that living and vital relationship with Jesus Christ. Thank you for this week, and thank you for all who took part in any way. It has been very much appreciated, and we pray, Father, that you will bless all those people who took part. But Lord, bless us, keep us safe, and continue with us as we ask our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Can I just thank Andy for the challenge tonight? Indeed, we have been challenged all week with the messages. And let me say, if you are someone who has been challenged about these things and you are thinking about them, would you please give me a ring in 028-2766-3217, or contact me via the website and we can chat. And I can send you a wee booklet if you need to or would wish to have one. And can I just say to everybody who's looking on, thank you for joining us. And I trust that you've all been blessed, and that many of you, as Andy has said, will come to Jesus. God bless you each and every one, and take care of you. I'm just going to close formally now the mission with saying the benediction. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of us now and until Christ comes or calls. Amen. God bless you all. Good night.